Hello, and welcome to another week on the Abundance Podcast. In this episode, you're going to meet my friend Autumn Janelle. I actually featured her on the Abundance Corner on my Instagram way back when, and I really just loved her Instagram. I definitely wanted to see her come onto the show and tell her story. And I'm so glad that I did because I've had so many questions that I've been dying to ask her about tarot. Oh yeah, and she's also a full-time tarot reader and meditation guide, and in general, just a holistic badass. She talks about tarot in a way that's really practical. And if you've always been curious about tarot, or if you're just curious about how she became a full-time tarot reader, she talks about her journey and how she's arrived at where she is at today with her husband. It's a really fascinating story of how she truly found herself and her true passions, and how even to this day, she is still getting closer and closer to her ideal way of living and her ideal life. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Totally. Wait, okay, so where is middle of nowhere and how did you end up there?
Oh, so we're near Port Huron, which is not really the middle of nowhere. It's a super cute town right on the East Coast. There's actually a spot downtown where we can see Canada. We're right next to the Blue Water Bridge, and we can literally see people walking on their boardwalk in Canada. But we are like 10 miles north of that. So we're in the country, and we are totally here on purpose to just have our privacy and have our own little area of the earth to take care of and hide away.
Wow. I love that. And like, what was the journey to get there, I guess? Like, have you always wanted to do that?
We've always lived in this area. So my husband and I got together when we were 17. We started building a house at 20 and got married at 21. And it was in the same town that where we both grew up, you know, where our parents still lived. And we did that for, I think, nearly 7 years. And we had neighbors on all sides of us. And we just had all these dreams of having a garden and, you know, just being able to go outside and not have to interact with people, have our own space. And so we were on the hunt for probably like 3 years before we found a place. And now we're here on 20 acres. Like, all of our neighbors are super far away. And so it's definitely our little sanctuary.
Wow. Interesting. You come off as an extrovert though. Are you more of an introvert though, actually?
Yeah, I think that I'm a healthy balance of both. I really like people. I am not intimidated by crowds. You know, like, I'm not afraid to be up in front of people, but I very much enjoy my private time. And especially, you know, in situations like that where you want that time to yourself. So when you step outside and you're automatically launched into like, I have to talk to my neighbors, I have to do this, I have to be social. You don't want to do that all the time. So really to be able to just step outdoors and say, I can just be here and be peaceful. And like you said, have that introverted moment of just calm and quiet, that's really nourishing. So I definitely need that too.
Totally. Yeah, so I guess, what are you up to these days? Like, you know, introduce yourself to the audience, like who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I am Autumn Janelle on Instagram, where it's always Autumn. I am just, I guess, restarting a new journey as a tarot reader and meditation guide. I owned my own photography studio for nearly 10 years before I just experienced burnout and wanting to do something new, something more expressive and, you know, actually truly connecting with people. And so I went through a huge life change, uprooted everything I knew, went through a couple hard years while I tried to figure out where I fit in again, who I was, where I wanted to go. And so now I'm here. This is where I have just trusted the process and the flow, and it has taken me to this spot where, yes, currently a tarot reader and blog about it, help people, you know, get a little bit more balance in their life and connect with what they really, really want, because those were all the things that I was missing when I was, you know, just overwhelmed and stressed and burning out.
Yeah, man, I think that message speaks right to my listeners, you know, because I think we're all on that journey to self-discovery and trying to figure out who we are beyond the 9 to 5 and what that true life is. And I definitely see you as somebody that has broken free. Do you feel that way?
Well, thanks. You know, I do. When I first got married, my husband had this union job. It was, you know, what everybody dreamed of. It had good health insurance. It had good retirement. It had investments, all of this stuff that you were supposed to get. I had a minimum wage job that didn't really excite me. And then just out of the blue, I started my own business that was completely not something that I ever thought that I would be capable of doing. But my husband is a very, yeah, do it. Why not? Who says you can't type of person, which has completely rubbed off on me. So we started my own company and, you know, it grew and grew and grew. And I'm super thankful for that. And when I felt as though that chapter of my life was done, my husband had quit his union job and started working for himself. And I just kind of slowly evolved into something different. But the idea of going back and working for somebody else and being told where I had to be, when I had to be there, like what I had to do, I just realized the second time around, like, wow, I will never be able to go back to that because I have experienced creating my own journey. And when you get to create what you want to do with your life every day and when you want to do it in hours and just you have that freedom, it's amazing. So you're just like, okay, I can't go back. And really anybody can do it. If I can do it, if my husband can do it, like we're nothing special, anybody can do it. But it's just breaking that cycle, breaking that mindset of what you're used to or what you're told you're supposed to do, and just taking the leap and finding out, yeah, if you put the work in, you can break free too.
Yeah, I mean, Autumn, that is so freaking inspiring, honestly. I just want to dig more into your journey, right? Like, what challenges did you come across? And how did you slowly progress to where you are now? Because I think probably a lot of people listening feel a little lost right now.
Well, for sure. it's definitely been up and down and up and down. And when I first took the leap of starting my own company, I actually didn't have any like big intentions behind it. I knew that I wanted to do photography. I picked up the camera and I just started taking pictures every single day and sharing it with no larger intention other than I really like this and I want to share it. And that organically just led to people saying, hey, can you do this for me? And I realized, oh my gosh, yeah, sure, I can. And at that time, I really didn't understand the value of what I could give to people. I completely didn't. I'm like, don't even talk to me about business, legal stuff, taxes. I had no idea. I just knew that I worked a minimum wage job that paid me $6 an hour. And if somebody wanted to pay me $30 to take pictures of their kids, I was like, that's 5 hours I'd have to work at this job I don't even like. This is amazing. And I can do it in like an hour. So that was cool for a while. And then you realize like, okay, $30 is not gonna like, I can't live on it. But it was a really good building point. And you just learn as you go. And yes, you're gonna screw up. I mean, the number one thing is invest in education so you can screw up less. But don't be afraid of that. And so yeah, just a little lot of trial and error and practice and commitment. And you know, I don't like the hustle mindset, but definitely if you want to make a quick jump into something, you're going to have to put the time in, you're going to have to invest. And so I think with enough drive, anything is possible. And then, like I said, I kind of took a little crash and started over again, which was really difficult. I did 3 months of life coaching, which I swear absolutely saved me and got me back on track to where I am, to just figure out, okay, where do I go now? That was so confusing to me. What do I do now? How do I start over?
Yeah, honestly, like, I feel like I really resonate with that, especially where I am now in life, where I've like built up this platform and I'm like, but is this what I want to be doing for the rest of my life? Like, what advice would you share in terms of how did you come to a decision and readjust your path?
Ooh. I think that society tells us that we have to pick one thing, we have to be that person, and we have to do it until we die, or at least until we're super old. I guess now I just had this big mind shift of, there's a couple different dynamics that I learned. You know, what we do isn't who we are. It doesn't have to define us. And I lived a very large part of my young adult life thinking that I had to identify with my job. So realizing that I don't have to be Autumn the tarot reader. I can be Autumn as I am. And it just so happens that I read tarot, or I also teach meditation, but I also unprofessionally love to garden and hike and do all of these things, you know? So that disconnect was really helpful. And then just also understanding, like, why are we working? Is it fulfilling something, you know, deep inside? Okay, awesome. Is it just for the money? Well, then we can do lots of things that make us money, and we can switch that as often as we want, as long as we are, you know, surviving and thriving and paying our bills and are able to go and do the things that make us happy. I think committing to one thing and having to identify with that in order to be happy and successful is overrated. And I would love to see that shift.
Yeah. And I will say, like, I feel like I sense that too in your Instagram, where you're just a very diverse person. Like, one day you're posting about one thing and I'm like, what? And then the other day you're like completely dressed up or whatever. And like, I just think that's so cool. And also your photography is amazing. Like, that's really what stood out to me when I first stumbled upon your work. And then realizing, oh yeah, you do all these other things. And I just think it's cool that you've discovered what works for you and sort of plugged in the things that make sense for you where you are. Yeah, I mean, I definitely encourage everybody to take a look at Autumn's Instagram. It stands out. I don't know if you realize that, but it definitely stands out. It's just very unique, the artistry of it and how creative it is, but it's blended with nature typically. And sometimes you go dark, and I love that.
That's actually really comforting to hear, because I think, especially, and you know, when you work for yourself and then you are a part of your brand, it can get difficult because, you know, as humans, we are dynamic. But when you get onto social media or business, you know, you're kind of told, okay, you have to have this brand and it has to have this look. And when you are a part of your brand, it can be really difficult. It's like, no, wait, I have all these different parts of myself. How do I only hone in and showcase one thing? And I especially think in the social media world, it's kind of rewarded right now. You go onto a feed, it's all the same. It's all the same color palette. You know what to expect when you get there. And like, I respect that. And yeah, as a business decision, I think, you know, I do think it's really good. But as a human being, that can be really, really difficult, because we do have all of these different sides to ourselves. And I think that putting that out in these itty bitty squares on social media, it can be hard. Like, I just see a lot of people battling, trying to figure out who they are and aesthetically what that looks like. We're not meant to fit in those boxes, and visually it probably is gonna look like a hot mess, and that's okay, and that makes us interesting. I shouldn't say hot mess, because that's negative. Like, it's not a hot mess, it should be embraced. But that's like, I think, the negative way that some people see it now, you know.
Well, that's interesting, because I never look at your feed and think, oh, that's a hot mess. I'm like, wow. Like, there's just a certain vibe to it that seems cohesive to me, at least. So yeah, totally. I definitely understand. even being under the Abundance Coach, like this branding, right? Like I literally just a few days ago started like this anonymous blog because I was like, man, I just want to express. I just want to talk about things and not be penalized for that. And that's like part of me trying to like break free and figure out who am I outside of the brand.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. And I love that you're doing it like anonymously because you have that freedom to kind of figure it out. I think when I quit doing photography and made this transition, I was doing it in front of everybody, you know, expressing myself. And it's just like looking back now, it's like, okay, everybody might not want to watch that. But yeah, it was me literally just taking these photos and writing these captions and expressing myself totally raw, trying to figure it out. And it was probably all over the place. But I mean, I guess the only thing that I can say is that it was honest, but I'm thrilled for you. That's absolutely great. I mean, self-expression it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. Wait, okay. So tell me about tarot and meditation, because I mean, I've meditated a little bit here and there. Tarot has always been really intriguing to me. Like I've had my cards read at different events here in Dallas, but tell me about what does that represent to you? And do you believe that tarot is showing you your path, or is it like a collaboration with it that you create meaning together in a way? I guess sort of just speak on that. I'm so curious about it.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I'm really excited to be able to share my take on it, my opinion, and maybe clear some stuff up for people who have, you know, heard things or just have their assumptions. So I started with meditation, literally just I was led there. Something was calling me to get educated and become a meditation guide. I did that and started teaching meditation. And for me, meditation can be all kinds of different things. It can just be breath work. It can help us sleep. It can help us relax. It can help us be grounded or aware of our body. If you do visualizations, it really taps into your subconscious. So tapping into that subconscious and our truth, what we really think and feel deep down in that safe space where nobody is judging us, that was just kind of a segue into tarot, because I really feel as though that is what tarot does. So I have been reading tarot for 20 years just for myself or from friends and family. And when I first started doing tarot, I was like everybody else. Oh my God, this is so cool. It's this magical, you know, fortune telling thing like in the movies. It's going to be so fun. And the more I used it, I was like, oh God, this is super accurate. This is what is happening. Well, I went through different phases with it. I don't really have a religion that I'm with, but I'm like, is this connecting with God or something? Because this is crazy. And then a couple years later, I'm like, no, I don't think it's connecting with God. Is it just like me having a conversation with myself? What is happening? And then the more and more I used it, the more and more I started to understand it. And then especially, you know, really, really learning the history of the card, it all of a sudden just clicked and I realized, oh my gosh, these cards through visuals and all the lessons that they hold and, you know, the metaphors and the artwork and just all of it, they are allowing me to tap into my subconscious, just like I would do during meditation. They are bringing things up that I otherwise can't access because my brain is too busy, you know, wanting to think rationally or organize things or the societal pressures, all of that stuff. But what tarot does is it calms all of that noise and allows you to really connect with all of those answers that lie within you. So, I mean, a lot of people will say, like, are you psychic? Are we seeing the future? And I don't want to downplay psychics because there could be people out there with some sixth sense that I just don't understand. But I'm a very firm believer in free will and being able to make our own choices and write our own story. And so you know, the way that it got described to me, which I love, is if you flip over these cards and you look at where somebody is right now, the path that they're on, the energy that they're holding, the beliefs that they have, in a psychic way, you could say, well, this is what your future has in store for you, because if you continue on this path, this is where it's leading. But after that tarot reading, if they decide to completely take action and do another course, I don't believe that it is concrete, set in stone. So when I do a reading with somebody, it's there as a guide.
So what do people usually come to you with when it comes to tarot reading? Is it because they're feeling lost? Are they looking for answers? Like, how can tarot really benefit somebody? And do they really have to take this like long journey to fully understand it? Or can they benefit just from going to a reading with you or someone else?
Yeah, so it's ironic because a lot of people that do readings with me, I go to a lot of events, or I will do like little events in people's home where they gather up their friends and then we do a one-on-one in a private room. And a lot of people are doing it because they're curious. They've heard something. They want to know more. They're a little skeptical. They've seen movies. I've had people sit down in front of me and say, hey, just so you know, I totally don't buy this. I'm not into it, but I'm going to try it out. And I just give them that space and that time and that experience. And then I watch their beliefs and their understanding around it completely shift. So tarot can be a lot of different things. If you just want to sit down and pull one card and get a little bit of clarity from it, then you can simply just do that and have it be a little helpful hint on how to move forward. But you can also sit down and you can just lay out a huge spread and say, I want to go deep. There's some stuff that I have blocks around. There are some things that I haven't completely moved on from, or, you know, I just feel so much confusion. We can go deep and understand, where did it start? Why is it there? How can you break past it? How can you move forward? Where do you want to go? And it can be super therapeutic. So yeah, there's a big spectrum of, hey, do you want to have a fun experience, but also get something out of it? Or are you ready to deep dive and really make some changes? And I know that you are a life coach, and I feel like they're very, very similar. It's a very future goal, action-based tool. I am the reader to help guide them through the cards, but ultimately they are the one who is going to need to be the one to make change and want to commit and really listen and trust themselves and take the reading and do something with it.
Yeah, and I feel like oftentimes people are just pretty disconnected from themselves. And I'm wondering, this just was a random question that popped to my mind, but how often do you do a tarot reading and the person leaves in tears?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, yeah, I have had people break down literally over just the first flip of a card. These beautiful epiphanies that will happen during a reading. Just moments, I think, of really being seen and understood, and times of acceptance. It really is magical, and I love watching that. So yeah, there can be all different kinds of emotions. There can be those happy tears, intense tears that people are willing to shed because they want to put the work in. Just excitement. Also like just that giddy, like, oh my gosh, how is this so accurate? I'm freaked out in a good way. This is the coolest thing ever. You know, and you do still get those people who sit down for a reading and there's still that wall there. And you can tell that the wall is holding them back. There's some things that they're just not ready to admit yet. And, you know, and that's okay. And you hope with over time that reading can sit with them and they can just, you know, allow it to stew and say, okay, maybe I am at a better place now where I can admit that there are some things that I have to work on and slowly bring that wall down in order to move forward.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something you said earlier, where when you first started tarot, you were like, man, this is crazy. I wonder if you don't mind sharing some of those examples of something that might be uncanny. You're just like, whoa, what just happened?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was younger, I just felt so connected to the cards. I would turn something over and I'm just like, this is pinpointing this situation to the point that it is kind of freaking me out. Like, what bigger energy is moving around here? Like, wow, the universe is talking to me, because it was just so accurate. You know, you have the really practical people that are like, yeah, but can't every card probably connect with somebody on a certain level? And yes, they can, but there's just some cards that you're like, mm-mm, this is spot on. Often I talk about tarot in a very practical way that, yeah, it can be compared to life coaching. There is definitely a psychological aspect to it. It's almost like a huge blueprint on, hey, how to move forward, how to live the life you want, how to be a good person. But there is this sense of magic to it that I can't explain. And that is the hook for me that just keeps me here and excited. So, you know, for example, I will go to very large events where there's possibly hundreds of people there. And maybe throughout the day, I'll have 30 people sit down and do readings with them. And, you know, there's 78 cards. So you shuffle, 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 spread them all out. And then they're the one to pick the card. Not me. So this is obviously just like true chaos. Nothing is controlled in this situation. And, you know, it sounds crazy, but I truly believe because of that connected energy, I will do these readings and there will be the same cards that just continue to pop up over and over and over again throughout the day. Like, I can see the same card 5 different times. Or, you know, I did a reading with a mother and a daughter totally separately at different times the same night, and the first 3 cards that they both drew were exactly the same in exactly the same order. And again, like I said, we're shuffling, we're spreading them out, we're bringing chaos to the deck, they are picking the cards. So those are the moments where I'm like, you cannot tell me that something larger is not at play here. Whatever you believe in, if you want to believe that it is God leading you on a path, if you want to believe it's energy in the room, if you want to believe in magic, like, there's something.
Yeah, that is crazy. How does this tie in with like horoscopes, at least from your perspective? Because I mean, I recently got into horoscopes through an app called Chani. It's just very nuanced, and it's not telling you like, hey, this is going to happen to you, but it's more so like, hey, take notice of these things in your life and you might want to focus on these other things, right? So yeah, I'm curious about your take on that.
Yeah. And I love the point, like you said, is it very specific? No, but you can focus on these things. Tarot is interesting because sometimes we'll flip over those cards and it is a direct mirror of what they are experiencing. Like, there is no interpretation. I'm like, this is exactly where you're at right now. And they're like, yep, spot on. You know, and other times I'm like, okay, what are you getting from this? Because this card is here as a lesson that you should embrace. But what's interesting, I'm starting to get into astrology too, and finding out like all of the different moon signs and sun signs, and they're all based in like, you know, are you an earth, air, water, fire sign? And that's how the deck is divided in tarot. You know, we have the wands, which is a fire suit. So you have the earth, air, fire, water suits in tarot as well, the main elements that make up life. And so everything really is a beautiful dance. It is a balance. And I definitely think that there is that connection there to astrology. I think there's so many things that are connected that we're just not realizing it yet. I really believe in, say, 50 to 100 years time, science is going to be explaining everything that we're talking about. And it is just going to be studied and understood on such a deeper level. We're just using a different language right now. You know, we are bringing this magic or this mysticism to it. But really, when you get down to it, I don't think it's as crazy. I don't think it's woo-woo. I really do think that we're going to find out that it's really rooted in some real stuff.
Yeah, I think that's awesome because you definitely don't sound woo-woo when you're talking about it. I think like maybe from seeing your photos, like I had no idea what to expect, but I was thinking you would have like more of like a softer energy, but you're very vibrant. And maybe that's like just my own expectations. Like your energy is just like front and center, if that makes sense. And yeah, the way you talk about tarot seems very down to earth, very like sensible. It's not just like, oh yeah, I feel the vibrations of the universe or whatever. I don't even know. I sometimes hear people talk like that. I'm just like, I don't judge you, but I just don't fully understand like what you mean by that. But if somebody were to want to get into tarot, what would you suggest? What would you suggest to try versus, you know, what things should they avoid? You know, like what are your tips around that?
Yeah, I say just go get a deck. You know, there's like this saying, you can't buy your first deck. Somebody has to give it to you. And I really do think that goes back to like the practical. Like if you want to believe that it's bad luck that you bought your first deck, then, you know, that can be your thing. But I say, if you want to get into tarot, go buy a deck and make sure it has a guidebook. That's going to get you started. The guidebook, even if you know nothing and don't understand the cards, you will be able to do a little spread for yourself. Flip those cards over and read the description and just see what starts to surface in your mind and what can this teach you and what is it telling you. And again, just listen to yourself and enjoy the process and don't be afraid of it. Tarot can have a very negative connotation around it. You know, people are like, it's the work of the devil, it's evil, and I don't go for it. Like, if you want to, again, pretend that it has that energy, then you're going to put that energy into it. At the end of the day, it is a deck of cards. How do you want to use it? If you want to use it in a positive way to bring light into the world and change your future for the better, then that's absolutely amazing. And yeah, there are cards that are darker in the deck. That's not to say that they, you know, you're flipping them over and you're bringing this like doom and gloom into your life. Life is all about dark and light, ups and downs, and again, that balance. And so when you flip over these darker cards, you know, that can actually be a warning of saying it doesn't have to go this route, but you have been warned that it could. What do you want to do right now to avoid it? So those darker cards actually can really be very, very positive and super helpful. It's just all, again, that energy that you want to put around it. And I choose to have it be full of light and love and hope and excitement and magic.
Yeah, I love that you said that life is light and dark because, you know, my own personal journey, I focused too much on light in the past and then finally realized that we all have dark sides to us and that I made mistakes because I was refusing to see that there was a dark side to me. And yeah, tarot seems to be aligned with that, that it is representative of what's inside, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It really is like a human spiritual blueprint, especially when you really start to connect and understand the cards. The deck is split into two different sections, the minor arcana, which consists of, like I told you, all of these different suits that are earth, air, water, fire that look very similar to a playing card deck. And then you have the major arcana, which is 22 cards. And it really does go through this evolution of beginning stages of life all the way to completion and all the lessons and the turmoil and the things that we learn and the things that we want to conquer in between. I just love it. Studying the cards individually and on a deeper level, understanding ourselves as humans, it's amazing. And as far as like the light and darkness about it, it's really funny. There's the devil card in the deck. And of course, when people get that or the death card, they're like, oh, I'm doomed. This is the worst thing ever. You know, it's very similar to what you said about avoiding this dark side of you. You know, the devil card on the surface is like, oh, something's being tricky. Oh, you're giving into those bad temptations. And yeah, a lot of people do. Like a lot of people give into certain temptations, abuse it, and then it becomes a negative thing in life. And that's mostly what we focus on. But when you really, really get like deep down with this devil card, it kind of says in a sense, yeah, there is going to be a darker side to life. There's going to be these desires. But if you are actually able, as a controlled, morally good human, to be able to tap into these desires and not abuse them, you do have the ability to enjoy this side of life. But it can be so tricky. It can go dark. But that doesn't mean it has to. And that's a part of like that devil card that a lot of people don't talk about, because then people latch on and be like, oh, it's okay for me to do like a shit ton of drugs and, you know, alcohol and like ruin my life. No, we don't want to take it that way. But if you can do some of these things that maybe people look down upon, but do it in a way that it is not altering your life in a negative way, you should be able to experience all light and dark in life. But it goes back to that control and that positivity and how we want to live our life.
Yo, yeah, no, that is freaking deep. Like, I definitely resonate with that, you know, coming from my personal history, like having sex and love addiction, and then now getting to a point where it's like, I can have casual sex and not have it be something that destroys me from the inside out, because it's very connected. I'm very aligned and very intentional with how I use it. Because of that, I feel like it enhances the intimacy and the connections I have with people, instead of being like this wall that breaks intimacy, breaks connection, and moves from using people to connecting with people. And from the outside, it might look the same to people watching, but on the inside, it's exactly what you're describing. It's like that control, but also you can enjoy it from time to time. You know, it's like being an alcoholic that doesn't drink for 50 years, and then now maybe you feel like you can have a drink once a week and not stick to those rules. So yeah, it's freedom in a way.
Yes, it is. And I'm so glad that you said it first, because I will see that card as this freedom card. And I'm like, oh, I am going to make a lot of people mad by saying the devil is this freedom card. Like, people do not want to hear that. And I'm like, how deep and dark and sweaty do you want to go with this conversation? Because if you give me enough time, you'll get it. Just like you said, but there are so many people that are like programmed to be like, that is absolutely, you know, then they start to see tarot as that dark side, like bad witchcraft, like satanic. And I'm like, okay, we're going to stay away from this conversation. But for people like you who get it, I'm like, oh, this is where like the good conversation comes in. And those lessons and those challenges and the excitement of life and all of those experiences of the whole point of our soul's journey here on earth, that's where the good stuff lives. But yeah, mostly I don't have that conversation with people, because they're going to be like, oh, my mom was right. You know, you are a devil worshiper. I'm like, no, no.
Oh man. And that's, you know, part of me feels not necessarily sad, but it's just like, it's like, man, I wish you could have more of those conversations with people, because it's what you believe is the truth. But a lot of that is maybe restricted by other people's preconceptions and things like that. And in some ways, it's like keeping the truth from themselves. I've experienced that in other aspects of life, where people just don't want to admit that they are something or that they could be something because of the connotations around it, you know?
Yeah. Well, thanks for like allowing me to have the conversation and just totally spew all of that honesty. It felt really good. And you know, you're right. I think I have to work on that, being 100% authentic and truthful. But then there's a part of me that also wants to be respectful of different people and their beliefs. So like, yeah, I think right now I'm riding a gray area, and this is new to me too. You know, like fast forward 5 years, I might completely know how to approach it. Let's hope I get there. But this, we'll remember this conversation. This was the starting point.
I love that. And yeah, I guess I want to hear just, what's one moment that you feel tarot really was like something that altered your path? I just want to like see a little picture of your life, I guess.
Oh my goodness. I just, every time I feel disconnected from myself or lost or confused, I will turn to tarot to get a clear view of myself. And I know that sounds funny, but it is in that quiet time that I am able to really just focus on the cards and focus on what my brain is trying to tell me. I'm a very visual person, so I have a bunch of different decks that I use for different things, depending on my mood, depending on if I'm reading for personal or business. And yeah, they always just come through for me. And it's funny because, is it the deck? Yes, there is a part of that magic, but again, it goes back to trusting yourself. And I, more than anything, I have found that tarot is a very empowering experience. And I have always, more than anything, wanted to be able to help people see that they are capable of so many things, that they really can live that life that they want to live. And I think tarot just so happens to be a magical way that helps me do that without being like super, you know, preachy or here's all these statements, you can do it, believe in yourself. It creates that shift in a magical, fun way that almost they don't even know that it's happening. And so I'm like, yes, I'm able to show people their true selves and hopefully help them get to where they want to go through these cards.
Okay, wait, how did you get your first deck?
Oh, I bought it. I did not wait for somebody to give it to me. I stumbled into Barnes & Noble because I love books, notebooks, just being around them, and came across, it was actually an Oracle deck. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. This, you know, practical magic. Like, I want to live in that world. Hocus pocus. I didn't really know what it was about, but it had that feel. I'm like, I'm totally picking up this deck. And that was, again, when I was probably like 15, started reading my cards, family cards, and they were fairly spot on. So then fast forward probably 5-10 years, I'm like, okay, I want to get a legit deck that I feel connected with. And I did. I just went online and there's a bazillion decks out there. And I just waited until I found one that I connected with through the artwork. So many talented artists will make these decks. And yeah, I was like, yep, this is the one. This is where I'm going to start. And so when I started reading for other people, I went back to that deck. I was like, this feels right. This is the very first deck that I connected with. It should be the very first deck that I start with professionally. So that's what I still use.
I love that. So how many decks do you have, or types of decks?
Oh, I need to get more. Right now I have maybe like 3 Oracle decks, 3 or 4 tarot decks. And yeah, if I see something and it calls to me in the artwork, like I just feel really connected to it, then I'll get it. Especially going to different places. Like we went to the UK a few years ago and I'm like, okay, I need a deck from over here where all of like paganism, Celtic stuff, witchcraft, like where everything started over there. So picked up a deck there, you know, one from New Orleans, local shops. So yeah, just whatever calls out, you know, they're just little pieces of our travels or memories or stories. And yeah.
Do you have any favorite decks, or like, do you have a deck that you sell that you would want to link in the show notes below?
So the Rider-Waite-Smith is like the deck of all decks. It is like one of the original. It's super old. And I was very stubborn for a very long time. And it was like, ew, no, this is the deck that everybody has. I'm going to find something that's more unique. And I just recently, on a trip to New Orleans, I was like, this is the voodoo capital of the United States or maybe the world. And I was like, I'm going to get this deck here. It feels appropriate. It's like a little tiny pocket size deck. I can take it with me and do little readings on the go. And I bought a really intense book that goes with that deck. And I tell you what, the amount of like numerology and symbolism down to colors and visuals, like there is so much packed into each one of these little pictures in these cards, really touching on, again, like our soul's journey here, things that we've experienced collectively that we can all resonate with. Yeah, I remember feeling this heartbreak, or I remember the feeling of excitement, all of those different things that we've all experienced. And yeah, I would definitely start there. Like, it's the deck that practically started everything. So there's so much history that goes with it. So that's what I would recommend.
I love it. Autumn, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. And if people want to book a tarot session with you, where do they go?
Yeah, just go to autumnjanelle.com, and there is a little shop there. You can look at tarot readings, one-on-one personalized meditations, and feel free to go through the blog if you're into moon cycles, if you're into earth-centered holidays, you know, want to poke around more about tarot. There's all kinds of blogs and free resources. Sign up for the newsletter. Every month I send out an oracle reading. You know, join me on Instagram @AutumnJanelle_. I do a live collective weekly tarot reading every Monday. Yeah, just reach out. Let's make it happen. I was just like, I have really rambled on about this, and I love tarot, and I could literally just like, oh, it's been like 3 hours and we're still talking about it. So I just kind of quietly shut it down. It was like, maybe she has another question. I think I should stop now. But yeah, ultimately it is there as a guide.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's there as a guide to lead us back to ourselves. It really truly is a self-discovery tool. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, it's a little tricky with the lag, but I know we're going to make this work because I'm going to edit it later. But